All right, folks. Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Hoop Talks Live podcast. Hoop Talks NBA Live. I still don't know our name, Sean. I'm a pretty bad host.
That's fine. It's it changes week to week, depending on what we want it to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's 2018. It's a gender-neutral podcast.
Sure, man. Sure.
So we're going to be obviously discussing the trade deadline today, just like every other person who follows basketball on the internet and in the audio world and in the television world.
It's a big original concept, I know, but what the hell else are we going to talk about? We're going to dive into the nitty gritty, though. We're not just going to be talking about the Cavs or, we're going to be talking about
the Lakers.
We're going to be talking about the nitty gritty. Rashad Vaughn's going to come up a lot. It's just,
he's the hottest name of the day.
Oh yeah. Him and like Dante Cunningham. Just popping off shells. Why
popping off?
I'm
the
just
shelves?
Recently that... awakened from my annual trade deadline nap, so I'm still kind of
yeah. So true story, folks. I see Sean's tweet a couple hours ago, about to hit the hay for my trade deadline nap. All the excitement's gonna happen, and then Elfrid Payton got dumped for a second round pick, and that's all we have to share.
Yeah. Well, so the thing with me is every year I should probably give some backstory. Every year around 2:30 or so, I will take a nap before the trade deadline. I'll turn off all my notifications and stuff, and I will just go silent for an hour, waiting to sort of wake up to the chaos that happens afterwards. It began in the deadline of 2015 when I took a nap at 2:20. I had worked all day, and I was like, all right, I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap. Nothing's happening at this deadline. I think Aaron Aflalo was like the only trade the entire day going to Portland, and I was like, all right, I don't need to be up for this. I'm going to take a nap. And an hour later, like 3:20, I woke up and like 15% of the league had been traded. 10 teams had new point guards. No one really knew what team Isaiah Thomas was on. It was amazing. It kicked ass.
Sounds like
yeah. It kicked ass. And so now I go to sleep at 2:30, like hoping to be like a good luck charm for chaos to ensue. Didn't quite happen today, but that's a small sample size. I'm sure it will happen again once I do it next year.
Yeah, no, the chaos kind of started earlier in the day, and then I would say it started really at the peak today and then just kind of worked its way down.
Yeah,
and kind of a reverse crescendo where other years it all happens, kind of leaks out after 3 o'clock, which is
on the whole, it's not the best trade deadline day. Like, there's
no
one team that did a bunch of shit, but other than that, it's pretty chill.
Yeah, it's just a couple of – the buyout frenzy, because I think every single playoff team is interested in Joe Johnson, according to beat writers around
the
league.
We will get to the buyout, guys. That's our cherry on top of this Sunday that is this podcast.
We're going to start with a trade from 3 days ago.
Yeah, we're going to roll through every deadline trade. This is essentially what we're going to do offer our informed opinions on it.
This is near and dear to your heart. So back 3 days ago, the Bucks received Tyler Zeller in exchange for Rashad Vaughn.
Yes, and also, the Nets got a second-round pick as well. Should note here, the Nets received the Bucks' second-round pick if between 31 and 47 in 2018, and it will be unprotected in 2020 if it does not convey. So,
that's the
tag. It's... I love like super detailed second round pick protections. Like, I get it for first round picks because you never know what could happen. Like, you could be the Clippers and win the draft lottery, and Kyrie Irving goes to the Cavs. Like, that's I get doing it for first round picks, but like 31 to 4, like second round picks, you can just buy for a certain amount of money if you want in. Like, it's not like a really hard to attain a pick between 31 and 47. And why 47? Why not 45 or 50? Some of them are protected to like 55, and it's like, what is even the point?
I mean, I forgot what trade it was, but it was a trade that like a pick ended up happening last year because it kept rolling over with protections, and the trade was from like
It was the JJ.
And it was a second.
It was
round
the
pick.
First round pick that got traded to, I believe, to the Cavs or the it was the Kings' first round pick, and it ended up being on the Bulls because it was a first round pick that got traded for JJ Hickson. And the Kings were so bad every year. It was protected 1-10. And the Kings were so bad every year that it never conveyed. And last year was like the first year where it was like the Kings were like 11th or 12th. They had a chance to fall out of the top 10. For a while, they were 11th or 12th. And like the Bulls were like, oh my God, we're going to get a first round pick out of this. Then they crapped the bed down the end of the season and tanked and ended up with whatever it was, the 8th pick or whatever. Who do they even pick this year?
That first pick, they didn't use it on Giles. They used it on De'Aaron
Fox. Oh, right, yeah. So, yeah, they ended up being a lot worse than... there was the one where they made a trade or something, I think. Yeah,
so they had 8 and, like, 13, yeah, and then they traded that for 15 and 21 to get Jackson.
Yeah, so
and
that
Giles.
13 could have been higher up, and, yeah, it would have ended up being that the J.J. Hickson trade eventually conveyed a first-round pick to... It was either the Bulls or the Cavs that were going to get the first-round pick. I think it was the Bulls.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the Bulls,
but then
too,
it became 2 second-round picks because it didn't convey, which is amazing. But the Nets, the one involved in this Tyler Zeller trade is not quite as extensively protected. Rashad Vaughn, I guess we don't really need to analyze his impact on the Brooklyn Nets because, as we'll get to, he's no longer a Brooklyn Net. Tyler Zeller, do you think he is anything important for the Milwaukee Bucks?
I mean, they're just trying to fully assemble the Plumleys and the Zellers all on one team and just become a really hateable white ACC team from the mid-2000s. So I don't really get it. I mean, they're very thin at guard right now, too, with Brogdon and Dellavedova going down and just have a ton of bigs on the roster. So kind of an odd construction going on with that Bucks team.
The thing is, their bigs kind of suck up and down. Thon McCurr has been bad this year. John Henson is fine. I thought he might get traded today at some point, but no, he's fine. But like, I can see why they need another big. Like, they were kind of in the DeAndre Jordan thing, and obviously Tyler Zeller is no DeAndre Jordan. Tyler Zeller is not even Cody Zeller, but I guess it's a little bit of depth. And they, like, Rashad Vaughn is what? Nothing? Like,
a project. A Bruno. He's a Bruno.
Yeah, he's like what Terrence Ross, what people thought Terrence Ross was. That's how I would compare. Like, Ross was obviously better than Rashad Vaughn, but people are like, that was kind of the comparison that was thrown around. Like, oh, he's very Terrence Rossy. No, Terrence Ross is a legend. Rashad Vaughn.
Yeah, he came out. Rashad Vaughn came out way too early out of UNLV. I think he definitely could have stayed an extra year or two, and it probably would have helped him carve out a career more than just a throw in.
Maybe just don't go to UNLV is, like.
Hey, Anthony Bennett worked out great. Oh.
Hey, he's ripping it up for the Maine Red Claws.
Soon to be a tandem with Bruno Caboclo.
Let's see how well this has worked for UNLV players. Patrick McCaw, I believe he's no longer allowed to play basketball after he got...
Down this year.
Yeah, he got just shit-kicked by Russell Westbrook this week. Steven Zimmerman.
Who is the last good UNLV
player? Well, let's go through here. Rashad Vaughn in 2015, Anthony Bennett 2013. 10 years earlier, Marcus Banks, Raptors legend Marcus Banks.
Ooh.
Okay. So there's that. Apparently, Lamar Odom went to UNLV, but he was drafted out of Rhode Island. I don't know why.
I think he sat a year at UNLV and then went to Rhode Island.
And then Sean Marion in '99, and then Keon Clark.
I was gonna say Sean Marion,
another Raptors legend.
Sean Marion's the last impact player I remember.
Another Raptors legend, Keon Clark in '98 as well. So.
And everyone's favorite players only broadcaster, Greg Anthony.
That's is he actually your favorite? Are you joking?
God, no. Oh, no. If we're power ranking players only, which is tough because I hate the whole thing, but Greg Anthony is the very bottom because all he knows how to do is just yell "players only, baby." It's players only.
Caron Butler is probably my least favorite on there. He's really? Like, the sideline interviews are so bad. No one ever knows what the fuck players only means, but he asks everyone about it, and it's like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
They're far too in on the actual gag of it instead of just, like, I think the idea of it was to just kind of hang out with former players and just hear them kind of talk about the game like how they would if they were chilling at home. But it's become them just trying to imitate a broadcast, and it's awful.
Yeah, like, it's really bad. Podcast form would be all right, I think, but it's just not how it's gone. Anyway, we got 12 minutes of content out of Tyler Zeller for Rashad Vaughn, so rollicking start here for the podcast.
I was going to say, so what are you going to get here out of Willie Hernan Gomez? Very, very sad time for the Knicks, shipping out Willie after KP's best friend, or his best friend, tore his ACL, and they got rid of Willie. For Johnny O'Brien, who I believe was waived, and two picks, 2020 second round pick and a 2021 second round pick.
I think it's, like, pretty good for the Knicks, actually, because they have way too many.
Yeah, I'm surprised they
have way too many bigs. Obviously, they're probably not going to use those picks well because it's the Knicks, but... Like, they had too many bigs, like Willie, Kyle Quinn, Kristaps, Kanter. Like, there's just not enough room there for them all to fit in. And, like, I know everyone's like, oh, man, Willie Hernan Gomez was second team all rookie last year. It's like, yeah, in, like, one of the worst rookie seasons for, like, rookies across the board we've ever seen. So why are we too upset about this? I mean, he was fine. 8.2 points, 7 boards. He shot 53% from the field. I guess that's fine, but like, I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, it didn't really make a lot of sense to me, considering that KP went down and they have to fill 35 minutes a game without Noah, and I guess they're going to just bump up O'Quinn and Michael Beasley's going to get
him. Who the hell is playing for the Knicks tonight against the Raptors? That's my question.
I will be there, so I'm my guess for that starting lineup is Beasley's going to play.
Oh, he's going to rip it up tonight.
25 shots.
I get okay, Tim Hardaway Jr. is still, I mean, he's dead.
He's out.
He got Giannis's dick on his face 2 days ago.
Cantor's still, I don't know if Cantor's available or not after he had his little gum surgery.
No, he's out. So yeah, they have Michael Beasley, they'll have Frankie Smokes, they'll have Ron Baker, who has a face mask right now. He's going to get owned by Fred VanVleet. Courtney Lee is there, Jarrett Jack, Lance Thomas.
Is there
Luke
a tribute
Kornet,
video
who
for
I
Jarrett
saw
Jack?
In the G League this season, rip up Raptors 905. So that was cool. This is gonna be bad. Are you there?
Yeah,
are you cutting out?
No, okay. I'm fine. You cut out for a second.
I think we're good.
Okay, we'll edit that out.
No, the one thing that I really love about my favorite thing about the Basketball Friends, and I like the Basketball Friends, good podcast, and Leverage of the Chat is great stuff, and I like their content. But my favorite thing is that they've normalized not editing out mistakes. It's wonderful.
Perfect.
Like it's just a mistake happened. Whatever, that's fine. We just keep going with it. That's
Keep
the
going.
Medium.
So, yeah, that's a trade.
Yeah.
Hernan Gomez wanted more playing time. He's probably not going to get it behind Dwight and
Well, that was the thing is everyone's like, oh, there's got to be another trade coming for the Hornets now. And the Hornets didn't do shit today.
Yeah. It really makes no sense. I mean, we saw those rumors of the Cavs trying to push for Kemba, but then MJ was like, hell nah, for nothing coming back. We're not giving up Kemba. So just an extra body to add to that team. I don't really know what their plan is.
Yep. The Hornets didn't know what their plan was. That's kind of the Hornets, and that's always kind of been their thing. That's their MO as a franchise.
Speaking of teams that don't know what their plan is, the Bulls traded Jameer Nelson to the Pistons for Willie Reed, with both teams exchanging 2022 second-round picks. I like this for the Pistons.
Right yeah, now. He's the best point guard on the roster now.
Yeah, you could. He's Ish Smith, but he can shoot.
I mean, he's not Ish Smith. I think if you were to have those two run a race together, Ish Smith would win by a little bit.
Would you take Ish Smith over
in Jameer? A race? Yeah,
in a competitive basketball environment.
Probably yeah. Like Jameer's old as hell. Like, he was fine for the Pelicans this year, but like obviously they didn't think he was that great because they traded him, even though he was kind of a big part of the team early in the season when they were so injured. Like he's fine. Eric Kareem made a good point today in that Jameer Nelson and Jose Calderon have essentially the exact same careers, like fringy sort of all-stars for a long time, super steady, among the best players in their original franchise's history, and for the last 10 years all over the damn place,
just bouncing around,
or last 5 years, I guess.
I mean, I'll take that. Now that Detroit team does look legit with Blake there, I like them bringing in a vet, especially with Reggie Jackson, because who knows how he's going to come off the injury. So, but yeah, and it's another three-point shooter, which they need.
They certainly do. I don't know if it makes me any more like sure that the Pistons can make the playoffs.
I think they're in over Philly.
That I would not be surprised by that, just because Philly's so bad in crunch time. And
yeah, I think Philly's going to start sliding.
Well, what's it at right now? They're tied.
They're 26-26.
They're tied right now.
So they're already they've won four in a row, I think, since Blake got there. So they are back.
Game back in the loss column, but yeah, they've won five straight. That's impressive. I don't know if they can keep that up, but Andre Drummond's been really good with Blake. Blake's been Blake.
Yeah, I mean, if you just had to say they had to outplay the Sixers till the end, I'd take that.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there too, actually. So Jameer Nelson going back to the playoffs. You heard it here first on the Hoop Talks NBA Live podcast
live show,
basketball. Go ahead.
I was going to segue another great segue here. A point guard under 6 foot not going to the playoffs this
year. Whoa, that's not the next trade on this list here.
Oh, what? Oh, we have a difference in lists. What trade are you on?
A blockbuster, to be sure. The
Bryce Johnson for James Ennis?
No, the Washington Wizards trading Sheldon Mack. To the Atlanta Hawks.
That happened later in the day.
Well, then my tracker's all screwed up. We
Yeah, your tracker.
Let's just go.
That was like a buzzer.
All right, let's just go with yours then.
I was going to say another a sub 6 foot point guard not going to the playoffs. now leaving the East, Isaiah Thomas, rid of by the Cavs, along with everyone's favorite podcaster, Channing Frye, and a first-rounder going to the Lakers for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance, who are going to solve all of the Cavs' problems.
Well, yeah, when this trade originally happened, I was like, that's dumb for the Cavs. I mean, they get rid of Isaiah, so like everyone will hate each other a little less. They'll be a little less angsty in there. But like Channing Frye is like their only healthy big right now, and he's very good. Like I'm recycling my own material here, but that is the best move the Raptors could have made at the deadline, is having Channing Frye traded away from the Cavs to a team that's not going to make the playoffs, because holy shit, did Channing Frye ever own the Raptors in the playoffs, and it was inexplicable. Isaiah Thomas, yeah, like getting rid of him is good. I feel like he'll be better next season, probably when he's like back from the hip injury. But like he was,
but where is he gonna be?
I have no idea.
I don't think he's.
I'm expecting Magic to give him a max, because Magic seems like he has no idea what he's doing. But he did just get a first round pick for some stuff and open up 2 max salary slots. So I guess good on Magic. But Isaiah, like it was like he was like a mole with the Cavs. Like this, like a sleeper cell on behalf of the Celtics, almost. It was ridiculous.
I love that last night is the final parting shot of him in a Cavs jersey after
beautiful.
LeBron hit the game winner and just running straight through him to chest bump with Seti Osman, who LeBron has probably said no more than 25 words to all year, but now they're best friends because he will not even look at Isaiah.
Well, it wasn't even just that play. It was the final play of what, regulation, or was it late in overtime when LeBron blew by Wiggins and got the layup while Towns was out of position, not there to help. And like you always knew LeBron was going to take that to the rim, or he was going to take the shot there. And Isaiah standing like at half court, like waving for the ball. It was beautiful.
Oh, it's fantastic. That how many games did he end up playing? It couldn't have been more than 20.
I think it was like maybe 13 or something. Let's pull it up here.
Yeah, like it was. That needs to be like a 30 for 30 short. Just like the 15 games Isaiah Thomas played for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Because, wow. And like just seeing how Kyrie Irving became Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance indirectly is.
I mean, they do still have the Brooklyn pick, which could be very good, because the entire league is like tied for last place.
Right.
They have 19 wins right now. The worst team in the league has 17. Like they could very well fall down to that, and they're only one game up in the loss column, so they could very well have like a top 3 or 4 pick on their hands there still, and like that would be kind of okay if it becomes, I don't know, Marvin Bagley or DeAndre Ayton or Luka Doncic. Like that's you're fine with that for Kyrie Irving, in addition to the, I guess, the Nance and Clarkson deal, whatever. But yeah, that was a shouts to Kobe Altman for having the balls to do that. And like,
yeah, I agree. Because even with all the locker room strife, you're still giving up a guy who was an all-star past couple years and like has shown he can average close to 30 points a game.
Yeah. And I guess the Celtics made it okay to trade IT originally, because like that was the most cold-blooded shit we've ever seen. Like, oh, you're gonna play yourself into the ground with a bum hip and keep yourself up for the next half of the next season while playing grief stricken after your sister died. Oh no, where do you
see
buy
you later? Yeah, Trader Danny has no morals. Yeah. I think we've seen that. I'm much more fascinated about this from the LA angle.
Yeah,
because there's rumors about him having to come off the bench now because they really like the way Hart's playing and Kuzma. And then when Lonzo comes back after the All-Star break, if they start Lonzo and Isaiah in the backcourt together, that is going to be the worst defensive backcourt of all time.
Lonzo's a fine defender.
If he tries.
Yeah.
But he's just so slow.
I guess. He's fine, though. He's big.
He just lopes.
I guess.
I mean, yeah. It's going to be such an interesting style, because you know these young Lakers, they want Lonzo to be distributing and running the floor, and then Isaiah is just going to stop the ball.
I just think Isaiah thinks he's better than he is. And, like, I feel definitely. Like the way that the Celtics used him last year just fed into that thing, right? Because it's like, all right, we have nothing else to create offense. I guess we have to give it to this dude. And, like, he did a really good job with it, but I think that's, like, the only situation in which Isaiah Thomas is ever going to succeed at that level again is, like, if he's just given the keys to a team that doesn't have any other sort of competition for touches or for creation. And, like, he's not going to get that with Lonzo Ball. I don't know what team is going to pay him this offseason. And it sucks that he's kind of getting screwed out of the money he probably earned with that season he had last year. But Also, maybe don't play through a hip injury. Regardless,
that and I saw a really good take today. I forget who it was. Some writer tweeted that like the Celtics traded him. Every team has traded Isaiah at some point. So I think at a certain point, you have to kind of reflect on it and say maybe he is the problem and it's not the situations he was in. Like, obviously there is something about this dude that, even with the way he can score and kind of take over games as we saw in his peak form last year, all the rest of the stuff you have to deal with might not be worth it.
Yeah, like when you can be cast as the bad guy when DeMarcus Cousins is on your team, and I'm not saying DeMarcus Cousins is a bad guy, but the general media narrative is that DeMarcus Cousins is a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you can be cast as the villain in that dynamic, then something's not right there. I don't know.
Yeah. It's ultimate little man syndrome.
Yeah.
It really is.
I'm of the mind that short people shouldn't play basketball, like shouldn't be allowed in the NBA. I'm glad Corbin Smith, Vice Sports, a bunch of other places, last night he tweeted it as well, just saying, like, basketball is for tall people, dude. Get it. Go elsewhere. And I kind of agree. Like, I'm not here for Earl Boykins. I don't give a shit about Muggsy Bogues. It's gimmicky. Ooh. It's like 3-on-3 overtime or the shootout in hockey. Like, what? Why? This isn't the sport. Reserve it for talls. If you're not 5'11 or higher.
For talls. Yeah.
If you're not higher, 5'11 or higher. If you can't pass off a 6 foot fake height on Basketball Reference, even if you're not 6 feet, if you can't fool people into thinking you're 6 feet, then no, you should not be in the NBA. Go play in the Big Three, or on the Harlem Globetrotters or something.
I'm all here for LeVar calling Isaiah out within the first 5 games that they play coming out of the All Star break.
It's gonna be delicious.
You know it's coming. It's going to be great.
I also love that the Lakers have all this cap space, and like the Thunder look awesome. LeBron might stay
2019.
Yeah,
they're ready for Kawhi.
Can you imagine what is a free agency meeting for Kawhi Leonard look like?
I mean, he did that Nipsey Hussle Jordan commercial, so I guess you just bring Nipsey.
Like,
in.
What do you give him, you just give him like a bowl of nails? And sure. Like, hey, we're going to wine and dine you. Here's a bowl of nails, glass of oil.
Yeah, glass of water.
Yeah, just like plain Greek yogurt and a glass of water. And that is wining and dining Kawhi.
And then you just slide the paper over with it and say, write the number. And then you're done. It's quite easy.
It's going to be very subdued to have both him and Klay Thompson on the 2019-20 Lakers.
Ooh, you heard it here first. Yeah. Golden State vulnerable now.
Super, super vulnerable.
Lost 3 of 4. Draymond's got a bloody face.
Yeah. They're
no one's trying.
They're going to be fine, I think, probably.
No, yeah. Please.
Shall we move on to the next big Cavs trade? Which kind of saved the day for them?
I was going to keep going chronologically, but if you want to jump ahead,
the tracker I have is totally all out of whack. But all right, keep going with yours.
Well, the next two will take 2 seconds. Right. So,
well, I mean, we took 12 minutes for Tyler Zeller, so I'm not going to say that.
I know you can't stand Bryce Johnson, and he got flipped for James Ennis.
I don't not stand Bryce Johnson. He's just not good.
Well, I mean, is James Ennis better?
James Ennis was kind of like a sneaky, like people, like Raptors fans were like, oh, like get Tyreek Evans. Like James Ennis would have been a nice little pickup. Like he can play defense. He can shoot a little bit.
And Detroit's thin on that wing, so you can kind of pair him with.
Oh, he's instantly like the second best wing on Detroit.
Yeah, it's not tough to be.
Yeah.
And in similar fashion, the Hawks flipped Luke Babbitt back to his home in Miami for Okoro White.
So that's the biggest reunion that the Heat will have today.
Who plays more minutes? That guy that we will name later, or Luke Babbitt the rest of the season for Miami? I think this is closer than you might.
It's probably
think.
Close, but like I would say that probably the guy we'll name later.
Just for in blowouts?
Like I think he'll play. I don't know. Like there's no Deion Waiters.
But I don't know who the Heat take out of the rotation.
I'm pretty disappointed Luke Babbitt cut his hair.
Yeah, he's no longer a slimy.
He looks like a regular person now, and that's like this Doug McDermott looking ass now.
Yeah, he's just generic NBA white.
He used to have character. He used to be like one of the three like default haircuts you could put on your creative player in NBA Live 06.
The flop top. Yeah. And was it 2 years ago he shot like 44% from three?
He's currently shooting 44% from three. His last four seasons, 51% on 1.8 attempts, which is like not a ton, but also not bad. About 120 attempts for the season. 40% on 2.3 attempts, 41% on 3.1 attempts, and then 44% on 3 attempts. So, like, he can shoot threes.
He'll make them.
He can't defend anybody.
But
whatever.
You know.
What are you going to do?
He's a piece.
Yeah, sure.
For that Heat playoff run.
Yeah, they don't look so good either right now. Is there a chance that they fall out and the Sixers and Pistons both make it?
Ooh.
They've lost five in a row.
I mean, they had the Rockets on the verge last night. I watched the whole game, and then they just kind of collapsed in the fourth because Harden went god level.
I also think they have the worst point differential of all those teams, if I'm not mistaken. They're like a negative 1.5 point differential or something like that.
That would make sense. They're one of those teams that just, you watch them and you simultaneously think, wow, this team could challenge like any of the top of the East, while also thinking like, oh god, they missed so many shots.
They are the most 500 team to ever 500. I said this earlier in the season and it's so true. Like,
it's
every good run they go on is counteracted by a shit run or vice versa. They're not that good. They're very 500.
I do think they're better than the Sixers though.
They don't have the talent, like the top-end talent that the Sixers have.
No, but the sum of the parts could
Let's see here.
More. Depends on how.
Total net rating. The Heat are 20th in the league right now in net rating. They are minus 1.5 per 100 possessions. The Pistons are a plus 0.1. And the Sixers are 8th in the entire league at plus 2.0. So if we're going by that, the Heat are falling out of the playoffs, and I think that would be hilarious because the Heat had enough fun.
I'd honestly prefer Miami in the playoffs now that once we get to that other
I hate watching Heat games. Their broadcast is not very good. It's got them very nasally, guys. The Miami Heat.
You don't like the Miami Heat.
The
broadcast.
Miami Heat are playing basketball today.
I love those
two guys.
Like Eric Reed and Tony Fiorentino.
Sounds like a character that Phil Hartman would play on The Simpsons. and like their court sucks, their arena is boring. I don't know.
Yeah, they should have gone all in on this Miami Vice thing and done a court.
They need to buy some fucking lights for that arena. It's just dim. It's like my basement. Like,
it looks very weird when it's a local game because it does look like they're playing in the dark.
It sucks.
Anyways, too much Heat talk.
Yeah, we got a lot out of Luke Babbitt.
All right. Yeah. So the next I like that we really make something out of the small trades. It's giving these guys the exposure
that's
they
what
need.
The people care about.
Yes. Okay. Something that people actually care about. The next trade, where the Cavs save their finals run, they received Rodney Hood and George Hill from the Jazz and the Kings, respectively. They shipped out Derrick Rose and Jay Crowder to Utah. Derrick Rose was bought out, will be bought out soon. And the Kings received Shump and Joe Johnson, who will also probably be bought out in the next
and week. A second rounder in 2020 from Miami.
Oh, I missed that one. So good save.
Number one
on this, I don't think Derrick Rose would even think about getting on a flight to Utah, which is really great. There's no way Derrick Rose is spending a minute in Salt Lake City.
It's probably one of the only states he could spell.
Derek Floyd Mayweather Rose.
Yeah, that might have been insensitive, but I think it's.
Yeah, that was a little. That was. That
I think
was,
it's well documented that Derek Rose is a moron.
Yes, but you know.
Whatever.
Is he hated more than Isaiah? No.
I mean, he should be. He 100% should be, but
he should be, but he didn't snitch.
No, but he.
So
he did some other
that's
stuff
what's important.
That we don't need to get to on this podcast. But just like, fuck any team that helped the Cavs improve their roster and get rid of all their dead weight. Like, what are you doing?
It's awful.
What is
and
this?
It's the same thing with the Warriors. Like the Bulls selling them the pick for Jordan Bell. Like, and then you hear the reports of all these teams complaining, oh, we don't want to do anything because there's two juggernauts in the league right now. It's like, yes, because you fuel
You can't be a small market team bitching about parity and then give up George Hill and Rodney Hood and get shit all back.
For nothing.
Yeah.
For
like,
nothing.
The Jazz get Jay Crowder, fine. You can throw him in with the Tabos and the Jonas Jerebkos in, like, their average-ass fine contract wings.
I was
going
to say, they are the team of wings that can't shoot
anymore. It's, like, whatever, sure. The Kings, like, Iman Shumpert, like, they should probably buy him out too. Or, like,
I would buy out both.
Yeah, like, they don't need, like, he's getting paid a lot of money for the next couple of years, but, like, just, like, what do you need cap space for? I mean, the Kings always are trying to find cap space to sign Rajon Rondo and Wes Matthews, but, like, and it's just, like, what is the incentive for the Jazz to give up on Rodney Hood right now? Like, you can control his rights, you can go to the offseason, like, if a team gives him a huge offer, like, what's the difference between getting Jay Crowder back for him and mm-hmm. like, just seeing if you can hang on to him, or, like matching an offer sheet, or just letting him walk and keeping that cap space? Like,
and you're on a, like, the team is playing well now.
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't know why you're trying to screw up this chemistry yeah. to not get anything worth it back. It makes
and
no
George
sense.
Hill's going to go from being a pumpkin to being excellent for the Cavs, which sucks.
Yeah, he'll stop just being lazy and hating life to becoming a stud defensively once
again. In case you didn't realize, both Mitch and I are Raptors fans.
As you can tell by... So, this is funny. I was home earlier during the Isaiah trade, and I was laughing, going, the Cavs have done nothing because the Lakers players aren't going to be ready for primetime yet. And then, after going to work and coming back, and then just reading that Hood and Hill... are now Cavs. I went, ugh, well, that's it. Play in the parade.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think it's it? Because I think there's, like, obviously they think they improved their roster. I'm not sure they improved it quite as much as people are making it out to be, just because, like, Jordan Clarkson sucks. He's not good, and he's overpaid. Like, I don't think Jordan Clarkson is anything special. Larry Nance Jr. is, like, a fun, dunky player, but, like, I'm not sure how, like, much he moves the needle either. The George Hill thing is huge for them. Like, that was the kind of guy that, like, it seemed like Cavs fans were kind of cold on it, but he's, like, a perfect fit next to LeBron. You don't have to have him put the ball in his hands. He's an excellent defender. He's going to hit threes, and he's a killer in the playoffs, and he will eat Kyle Lowry's lunch, probably. He's been hurt a bunch the last couple of seasons. Then Rodney Hood, that dude is hurt all the time. And so, like, banking on him being healthy, period, is kind of, a bit of a gamble. So I don't know. I think this, obviously, if everything works out perfectly and everything goes to plan, this makes the Cavs a lot better, and they're a lot more athletic and young and less angsty. But I do think there's a potential for this to not really fix a lot of their issues, because they're still going to be a bad defensive team, I think. As good as George Hill is, like, they don't have any rim protection whatsoever. Like, Tristan Thompson is, like, not just magically going to become better unless, like, Isaiah Thomas was leeching his health and, like, was the reason he was not being able to get back to full. Like, that, obviously, that's not true. And, like, Rodney Hood and George Hill both have injury concerns. So while I think this probably makes the Cavs better, and this makes them probably the favorites to make the finals, and, like, they were probably the favorites to make the finals anyway because they have playoff LeBron. Obviously, it was a little bit more vulnerable. Like, I don't think they're invincible. Like, I would still take last year's Cavs over this year's Cavs with Kyrie. Dudes who were, like, not shit at defense. And, like, Tristan Thompson playing at a higher level. Like, they're just not as scary, I think, as maybe these on the surface. Getting rid of so much dead weight helps them a ton, and maybe there's a buyout guy they bring in as well to sort of help them, although buyout guys are overblown every single goddamn year and they never really do shit. But yeah, like, on the surface they're better. I'm just not sure how much better they are, and I think there's a potential for it to kind of go off the rails and not be quite what people are making it out to be, because, like, there's a reason we mocked the original Lakers trade. It's because Jordan Clarkson sucks ass, and they gave up a first-round pick to bring in Jordan Clarkson and offload Isaiah. And, like, how good is Larry Nance Jr.? Do you think he's, like, any good?
No, I think it's just you're no longer trotting out the carcass of Jay Crowder. You're no longer having to play Isaiah, and just relieving that locker room burden, especially without D Wade having to play a lot of minutes now too, with him gone on the way out. It's probably not going to fix a lot of their defensive issues at all, but it could definitely help the scoring. And I think just a team morale bump coming back after the All-Star break, I think, will be big for them to see how they come out of that, what their first 5 to 10 games are like as a unit then. Maybe Ty Lue will actually have them practice so these guys can kind of work together and see how things magical, but some practice might do. I don't think it makes them, once again, like, an all-and-out favorite of they're going to parade to the finals like they did last year. But it definitely makes them better than they were yesterday.
Yeah, I agree for sure. And the George Hill thing, I think, is very big. The other ones could go either way. Like, Rodney Hood, he's one of these, like, theoretically good players. Like, he's a good shooter. Yeah. He's one of the best off-the-dribble three-point shooters in the league, actually, this season, which is kind of crazy. But like, he doesn't do much other than score. And like, when you have LeBron, he takes care of a lot of stuff. And like, you're, if you're pairing him with like, what's their starting five now, do you think?
I was gonna say I've been talking this over with my roommates all day. I think it's George Hill, the two spot. I don't know if you keep JR there or you switch him out for
JR's been one of the worst players in the league this season, so I think you make it Hood.
Yeah. Do you make bring JR off the bench again? Maybe that'll wake him up.
Yeah.
And then you probably go right now with Love out. You probably start another one of the wings. Maybe, I don't know, because you don't really want to put Clarkson in the starting lineup. But if you put Larry Nance out there with Tristan, you have no outside shooter.
Yeah.
So it's awkward until Love gets maybe, back of what they're
maybe
gonna
have Jeff to do. Green starts till Love gets back.
Yeah, that was my other thought. But Jeff Green is just Jeff.
He's
Green.
Been good for them this season, man. Like,
yeah. Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's Jeff Green.
I've loved
it's Jeff Green, but like, yeah, he's been good for them this year. Maybe Chetty. Maybe yeah. Chetty starts.
He does bring infectious love of the game. So that's energy.
Yeah. They
or maybe Korver starts, even just isn't one of those nominal things like a Luis Scola kind of thing.
Maybe. And we also talk about the how they're better equipped for the East. Like, they're no better to play against the Warriors right now. Like, not even remotely close.
They'll lose by 15 instead of 30.
It's still a team with very few good defenders. Like, Rodney Hood's not a good defender. I feel like if there were any, like, oh, Rodney Hood's a good defender takes out there, those will be wiped away pretty quickly when it's Tristan Thompson and Larry Nance Jr. backing, like, behind him as opposed to Rudy Gobert.
What it does do is make the race for the one seed a little more interesting between Boston and Toronto now.
Yeah.
Because I think you'll want to try to avoid the Cavs until the conference finals if you
can. And I feel like the Cavs have enough here to kind of rally to get that three seed.
Yeah. What are they down to now? Were they in the 5?
No, they're in the 3 still, I believe.
Oh, they're still in the... Yeah, because Miami's slide helped them, and Washington lost after their little mini-win streak, right?
So. Yeah, the Cavs right now are a half game up on the Wizards, a game up on the Bucks. So, we'll see. This is going to be... It's going to be excruciating. The Raptors are going to get the unfavorable seeding. We know this.
Of course. Always. No matter what happens, we'll be playing Cleveland in the second round.
All right, shall we move on?
Let's move it along after that doom and gloom. So we mentioned Dwayne Wade won't be in that Cavs rotation anymore because he's coming home. He's going home. And the happiest person about it, I don't think, is Dwayne. I think it's Gabby.
Yeah.
Gabby was incredibly excited. She is leaving the Cleveland winter after just 2 short months, which must have felt like an eternity.
She was in Chicago last year, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, a whole year. But back to the 305. Dwayne gets to go home, hang out with Udonis, be the two elder statesmen on that Heat team fighting for the playoffs. And, I mean, it's nice for him to get to... He'll probably retire after this year, I would assume.
Yeah, potentially. The thing with Wade is, like, he was pretty good for the Cavs this year. Like, he was one of their better players.
Yeah, I like the way he was... The way they used him running that second unit, but...
Obviously, I guess they consulted LeBron before sending him off.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, and then they asked Dwayne, too. I don't really know why they felt the need to do it, to be honest. Because maybe he wants to play more, but I thought he would have been fine to just come along for the ride.
I saw a funny tweet that was like they something. He just wanted Dwayne Wade just so he could complain about his teammates. So like to somebody, and so then when they get rid of all the guys he hates, I guess that makes it better. Yeah. But yeah.
It was a move.
I mean, yeah.
I don't think it helps the Heat
necessarily. Yeah, I'm not sure how much he played. Dwayne Wade's 36. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure how much he's going to play for the Heat roll like 12 or 13 guys anyway, so he'll probably get like 13 minutes a game to 20 minutes a game on random nights.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll play more sometimes. He'll hit a bunch of threes in the playoffs if and when they make it, although we've already predicted that they're not going to make it on this podcast, so
that 1-8 Raptors Heat series going 7.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that. If I'm ranking the teams that are going to potentially be 7 or 8, it's probably like are the Pacers a tier above those? I guess the Pacers are 6. Like
they've played like it. I think
the Bucks are firmly entrenched at least 5 right now. So if I'm ranked, like I'm not really scared about any of those teams as a first round matchup. To be honest, like the Sixers suck in crunch time and young guys suck in the playoffs. The Pistons are like fun with Blake, but they're not very deep.
I think we need to wait on the Pistons a little bit more.
Just
kind of see how they.
Yeah, play. The Heat are just like we've talked about the Heat. Yeah, whatever. Want to move on to the next trade?
Sure. The next trade I have on my tracker. Not sure what you've got. I've got the three-way deal for just some absolute studs. Doug McDermott leaving the Knicks, going to Dallas. Devin Harris goes to the Nuggets along with a second-round pick this year. And Emmanuel Mudiay gets reborn in New York.
As a person wearing a Frankie Smokes t-shirt as we speak, I'm
How sad
I'm displeased.
Are you?
I mean, they can play together, I guess. Like, Frankie Smokes is always kind of a combo guard. Like, the Knicks are obviously tanking. It can't hurt to just see what Mudiay does, right? Like, it can't hurt. I remember wanting the Knicks to draft Mudiay in that draft however many years ago that was. Obviously, that didn't take place, but...
I mean, they could have just taken Malik Monk this year and had Mudiay, basically. But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the Nuggets get Devin Harris. We've talked about how the Nuggets need a point guard all season long on this podcast. I'm not sure Devin Harris was the guy I had in mind, but hey.
I would have kept Jameer Nelson.
Devin Harris is fucking old. We talked Dwayne Wade's 36. Devin Harris, over under. How old do you think Devin Harris is? I'm going to look it up.
He's going to be younger than I think he is, because I remember peak Devin Harris on the 06 Mavs title team, like, playing very well. Let's go 33.
Is he a one-time All-Star? Do you make an All-Star team? He is an. He's
that
a Jameer,
Nets team.
He's a Jameer Nelson All-Star.
On the 12-win Nets. Yeah, on the 12-win Nets, right? Like,
Well, they didn't win 12 games the year he was there and made the All-Star game. But he finished that season. He scored 21. The 2008-09 Nets. By the way, he's 34 right now, which is younger than I would have thought.
He's what? He's how old? Sorry.
He's 34.
Okay, yeah, that's about where I pegged him.
Are you there, Mitch?
Yeah,
Mitch.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can now. Yeah, you cut out there for a second, but it's okay. The 08-09.
Yeah, I was gonna say
they won 34 games.
Right.
So, anyway,
that team was something.
It was a team, certainly. Yeah, this one I don't know. Why do the Mavericks need Doug McDermott? Well, what's the utility
really this might be the most inconsequential three-way trade ever.
I kind of love it for that reason.
Yeah, it's just like, we have a dude, here's a dude, and here's another dude.
The Knicks got another second-round pick out of this, so that's good, I suppose.
They can draft
someone. Like, I think that's three second-round picks in the last 2 days, between that and the Willie trade.
Okay, they're loading up to deal for a superstar.
The process, baby!
Hinky. Yeah. Hinky back.
Yeah.
In the form of Steve Mills.
I mean, Devin Harris will be fine for the Nuggets, I guess. Just play Jamal Murray a point guard now, I guess. Just make him all the...
Devin Harris is a nice vet to have in there. I mean...
McDermott I don't really get. McDermott won't roast the Raptors tonight, so that's cool.
No, future Dirk... I think the Mavs are just trying to get white guys who score to carry on the Dirk legacy.
Maxi Kleber.
Is that the Devlin pronunciation?
That is the Devlin pronunciation. Yeah. Speaking of pronunciations, the TFC guy has been doing the ACC.
Oh, so that's who it is. That's who
I guess
it is.
Herbie's sick.
Because I've been to the I've been to the past two games, and I went, who is this man's?
Yeah, I guess Herbie's sick. That's the TFC guy, and he pronounces names normally. It's cool.
You mean you're not all in on Herbie's full on pronunciations?
Serge Ibaka. All right, should we move on to the next trade?
Yes. So my next deal is the second part of Rashad Vaughn's saga.
Oh, dear.
Going down to New Orleans for Dante Cunningham, which I guess, is this a Pelicans we think we're falling out of the playoffs move?
Maybe. I mean...
Because Dante Cunningham's like a starter.
Well, not,
not a
with
good
Mirotic,
starter, but a
not
starter.
Not with Mirotic now.
Yeah, I
it's
guess
It's kind of
not.
Unnecessary. I don't really get it. I mean, the Pelicans need shooters and wings, so maybe they think they can form Vaughn into something for next season. I don't know. Cunningham is fine. He's not good. He's just, like, a dude. Like, I don't think it's, like, that consequential.
No, I'm just... It didn't really make sense to me.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Anyways, next one.
Shouts to Rashad Vaughn.
The Blazers do a little bit to lighten their checkbook, sneak under the luxury tax by dumping Noah Vonleh onto the Bulls. I like this for Noah. He can probably get to actually play again and try to carve out a niche, unless Bobby Portis hits him in the face.
Yeah, he got boned by Ed Davis being a monster this season. Poor Noah Vonleh.
Yeah, Ed Davis is having a
oh,
great
he's
year.
I think he's a free agent too.
Yeah, he is. He's gonna cash in for a mid-level extension.
Yeah. Ed Davis this season, 5.6 points, 7 boards. He's got like a 16.5 PER.
He was on a double-double streak for like 3 weeks. Yeah. Of just like 10s and 10s.
Love, which, love yeah. Boss Davis. Always yeah. will.
Bring him back.
That'd be nice. Noah Vonleh is fine. The guy that the Blazers got, Milovan Rakovic.
Yeah, I'd never heard that name before in my entire existence.
I'm going to look up his European stats. How about that?
Like, Milovan kind of sounds like two names put together.
Yeah, it sounds like a person from the area of the world that Milovan Rakovic is probably from, trying to say the word minivan.
Yeah, he looks like I just looked him up. He looks like Dollar Store Pero.
I was going to just say that.
drafted in 07 and still getting traded in the NBA.
I love this. This is my favorite kind of NBA player, I think.
Yeah, a guy who never
the
comes.
The Tomislav Zubcic. It's pretty good.
He'd already been traded from the Magic to the Bulls back in 2014.
Yeah.
So, dude's been around.
Hold on. EuroLeague stats.
His last EuroLeague year came in with Zalgiris in 2011.
He hasn't even played since then?
No, I don't think he had, not on a EuroLeague team.
He's playing in the ACB right now. Or he played there 2015-16, so that's not right now. That's 2 years ago. And he averaged 4 points a game. His career best was the 09-10 Euro Cup, where he averaged 14 points in 6 games.
You know what? Bring him over.
Yeah.
See how he does.
He will certainly help the Blazers.
He might smoke in the locker room. That's him and Teodosic.
Oh, dear. All right, we've talked enough about Milovan Rakovic.
Yeah, so speaking of Milovan Rakovic, no, I don't have a good segue on that one. Damn. Sheldon Mack went to the Hawks from the Wizards for a future second round
pick. Have we missed? We've missed the biggest trade of the day, by the way.
Which one?
The one that is close, near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah, that one's not on here.
What?
That one's not on here. I guess it wasn't. It's not official.
Well, that's just disrespectful.
Anyways, yeah, we'll get there. Okay. Don't worry. Sheldon Mack goes to the Hawks. That's a thing.
He's going to be waived. Yeah. His name is actually Sheldon McClellan, right?
Yeah, so he goes by Sheldon Mack, which is really insulting to Shelvin. Because Sheldon Mack is better, but is going to get, you know.
A pair of former Hawks, too, now.
Yeah. So that's a tanktastic move.
Wasn't Sheldon McClellan on he ruptured his Achilles. He's not even playing this season.
So I don't really know what that's for.
Yeah. Tax relief, I guess, maybe just a way for the Wizards to get a bio guy fit in, I guess.
Yeah, I was about to say opening a roster spot for ISO.
Oh, breaking news on the podcast, which is the best medium for breaking news. Kemba Walker has replaced Kristaps Porzingis in the All-Star game on Team LeBron.
So, I did see this. I didn't know if you wanted to
break. He will get to play with one LeBron team this season.
Ooh, zing. Nice. All right, so we'll move past that inconsequential All-Star news to future All-Star Elfrid Payton getting shipped to Phoenix for a second-round pick.
Yeah.
This kind of came out of nowhere at the end.
I kind of don't hate it for the Suns.
No, I mean, buy low.
Yeah, like,
you don't need another draft pick with all the rookies and first and second year guys you have on that team.
And, like, I don't know if Elfrid Payton is bad yet. Like, I don't think he's good. No, and you know, but I don't think he's bad.
If you were gonna pair him with someone in the backcourt, it's Devin.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Because Devin can take every shot, and Peyton just has to work on rebounding and moving the ball around.
Also, Peyton's been, like, quietly pretty good this season. Obviously, I guess the Magic didn't want to pay him, but 13 points, 6 assists, 4 boards. He's shooting 37% from deep. Not a ton of attempts, just 1.5 attempts, but that's improvement for him.
Well, it's better than Tyler.
He's shooting 52% from the field.
You needed the reinforcements after that 60-point loss last night.
Yeah.
On ESPN, that was sad. Yeah.
I kind of don't think that's a bad move at all.
I like it. I think it's a cheap investment to see how it works out, and maybe you strike gold.
Yeah, because like it's so hard to evaluate anyone who plays for the goddamn Magic. Like we've seen Victor Oladipo get better, and Like, Evan Fournier looks good there. I don't know if Evan Fournier is good.
I was going to say, nothing makes you play better than moving to the J. Triano's team, as we know.
Yeah. No, I agree, though. As, like, a partner for Booker, I think that makes some sense. I mean, if he was a better shooter, it might be even better. But, like, he's improved this season on a small amount of attempts. Maybe there's something there. I don't know. Like, it's worth it. He's still young. Yeah. How old is he? He's 23.
23? Yeah. Yeah.
That's not... That.
I'm rooting for him. Yeah.
I've always liked his hair, so...
Yeah, you
Pro Elfrid Payton hair.
In your next life, you will have that hair.
How many trades How many trades do we have left?
I was going to say, we're just on to your last
one.
Okay. Speaking of guys that we'll be rooting for, the Bruno Caboclo era in Toronto is over. And I'm you know what? I'm pretty stunned by it. They shipped him to Sacramento, get back Malachi Richardson, who's a guy probably going to play in the D League.
But, this you know, this shit hit me pretty hard, man. I gotta say,
it's the end. Yeah, it's the end of an era.
Yeah, it hit me pretty hard. I it was always fun to sort of dream on him and be like, oh yeah, Bruno, he's coming in 2 years. Like the 2 years away jokes got very annoying, but no, it's kind of a bummer. I always kind of wanted to see if they would see it through. Obviously. At the end of his rookie deal, there was no incentive for them to keep him around. I guess they weren't really going to offer him a second contract. I mean, they could have, I suppose, given him like a minimum deal for like 4 more years just to see what they could get out of him, I suppose. And if by the end of 4 years you have something there, then cool. But I guess this was always kind of the end we were coming towards with Bruno. And the fact that the Raptors spent a first-round pick on Bruno and still have a six-man bench full of dudes that they built in-house, like, it's fucking impressive, man. But yeah, I'm going to miss it. The game that always stand out to me is his first appearance. It was the Raptors playing the Bucks. The Raptors kicked the shit out of the Bucks by like 40, and Bruno played 12 minutes. He played the entire fourth quarter. Bruno chants were coming down from midway through the second quarter because they were up by so much. Landry Fields played in that game as well. Bruno scored 8 points. He looked really good for 12 minutes. It was excellent, and then he kind of never really came back. But I'm going to miss Bruno, man. It was always kind of fun. I remember game 6 last year, Raptors-Bucks. As the Raptors were melting down, Bruno was scoring like 31 in the G League final. That was really fun as well. It's a sad day for Raptors fans, I think.
It is sad. And I think even though he never panned out with this organization, coming from a kid from Brazil like who didn't speak English and coming up here at 17 to live full-time, like... That we can't, but neither of us can speak on that and like how hard of a transition that must have been. And for him to kind of keep at it and keep grinding and never kind of giving up and getting better and with 905 kind of emerging, even though this year the numbers are down, it's a really inspirational story. So I hope that wherever he ends up going, he finds success, whether it's in basketball or something else. But
I feel like
maybe it'll take a move.
Well, because the Kings apparently, those fucking monsters, are going to be releasing him, which is.
Yes, which I
a heinous decision.
Why are you trading Richardson for a guy you're going to waive? And then I saw they released Georgios Papagiannis, too. Way to blow a lottery
super
pick.
Weird. Super weird. Didn't they trade the pick that became Marquise Chris? In order, I mean, he's not very good, but better than Papagiannis.
He's better than waived, yeah.
The Kings. Yeah, stay bad, Kings.
Remain a mess. Are they trying to sign more buyout guys? And just
I don't know. The thing that's nice for the Raptors is they save about $1 million here. So they will...
Well, and it was always going to be a decision, right, of once Bruno's done this year, do you give him an actual... I think that would be the market where you have no idea what a guy's worth is.
Yeah.
Because, like...
He's played 113 NBA minutes.
in across 4 years, right? So... Do you give him like a minimum deal, or would some team throw money at him? So, I mean, that decision is now out of their hands and up to whoever.
I believe, he's got 27 career points. And I believe that, let's see here, 19 of those 27 points came in 2 games.
That's, you know what? That's spurt ability.
The last game of the season against the Cavs last year. And then that Bucks game I was talking about.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope there's a tribute video whenever he comes back.
Just a mashup of all his Instagram posts. He's like definitely going to catch on with the G League somewhere, I would think.
I would hope so.
If I mean, not, he's like Ryerson, his numbers are like legitimately good in the G League.
Yeah, Ryerson has a spot for him, so we could use the addition for the playoff push.
Yeah, let's
pull this. So yeah, I think that's the last trade of the day.
The most impactful as well. We finished with the
What for you was the least surprising of the guys that didn't get dealt? For me, it was Tyreke Evans.
The least surprising that he got dealt, or
that he didn't get. Or sorry, I should say most surprising.
Oh, okay,
that
yeah.
Didn't get dealt.
Because
the DeAndre stuff was going to take a lot, yeah. And teams didn't want to lock in. But they shut down Tyreke Evans last week to move him, and then they just kind of got cold feet with it. And now I guess they're going to try to re-sign him. It makes no sense why you shut him down.
I would say maybe Avery Bradley. Because, yeah. Like, the Clippers don't really have any incentive to keep him, really, unless they're trying to push to make the playoffs, which I don't know why they would.
Well, I think now they are.
Yeah, it's weird. Aren't they? But, like, Avery Bradley could have netted them a first-round pick, probably. Maybe yeah, teams just weren't willing to give up first-round picks for anything, and that's why nothing happened, yeah, right? Like, the Tyreke Evans thing never happened. I'm sure glad the Celtics didn't get Tyreke Evans. That makes me happy.
Yeah, that was, I think, the best move for the Raps right now, was making sure that the Celtics didn't get another
score. The second best after Channing Frye, but...
Correct. Yeah. but yeah, I mean,
by the way, basketball guys, Malachi Richardson, anything?
He was on that team, that 11 seed that made it to the Final Four. He was okay. You can't really evaluate Syracuse guys defensively, at least.
Right.
Because they're stuck in a zone. Right.
Right?
Like it's impossible. I don't remember. Nothing really stood out about him. Tyler Lydon was the star of that team.
Gross. My experience is that just Syracuse players suck butt, so don't really worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, since Melo, there really hasn't been a great one.
If this leads to the Raptors having enough money to sign Vince Carter to a minimum deal after he's bought out, I will be overjoyed.
So buyout guys.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of Joe Johnson stuff, but I think if we're talking Raptors specific, I want Vince instead because the 3-point shooting's probably a little better.
Is Vince getting bought out, though? That's the thing. I don't know if he's getting bought out or not.
Well, yeah, especially with the Kings now. Yeah. Like, are they going tank or not? Really, no
one
knows.
They've been tank all season. They have, like, the worst point differential by, like, 3 points.
Do they think they're tank?
I mean, if they don't, then they're fucking idiots. Which, hey, it's the Kings, so maybe.
It's
but,
very possible. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough to say.
What buyout guy joining one of the East contenders would scare you the most? I mean, not that it's really going to matter. I saw a stat the other day that buyout guys only end up on finals teams like 8%
of
the time.
They're not good. But, like, they're not effective.
No.
I don't even know who the main ones are. I guess Joe Johnson, Brook Lopez, maybe. I think if he goes anywhere, it'll be to the Pelicans.
And even if Joe Johnson were to go to a Boston, who are the Celtics taking out of the rotation?
Exactly.
To play these
the only
guys,
reason I want the Raptors to sign Joe Johnson is because it means Joe Johnson's not on an opponent of the Raptors in
Boston.
The playoffs. Just any opponent.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you signed with the Wizards, I'd be terrified.
Oh, that's just asking for a couple post ups on DeMar in a fourth quarter.
Yeah, even though he's like a couple. I mean, Joe Johnson has been very good this season, and like I don't know, there's buyout guys are not effective. It's a thing. Like we're trying to talk ourselves into Greg Monroe actually mattering for. The Celtics. He's not going to matter. He's not going to play when it matters because he can't defend anybody. And what are you going to do? Like, abandon your Celtics-y move-the-ball offense to throw it into Greg Monroe for post-ups? Like, no, you're not doing that. So I don't really see the whole thing there. It's whatever.
Yeah, I agree with you. Buyout guys, totally oversold. The trades are what matter. We ran through them all.
The trades certainly matter. What with Rashad Vaughn moving places all about the league.
Yeah. Yes, well, you know, the trade, we started at the top with the Blake Griffin trade, and now the trade season kind of ends on a low note with, you know, Rashad Vaughn.
Yeah. Shouts to Milovan Rakovic. And
he's the real hero.
Not quite my favorite random-ass player traded on deadline day. That still goes to Chuchu Matabom.
Oh, I do love Chuchu.
But
Chuchu Matabom's a legend.
Yeah. That was that, again, that crazy-ass 2015 deadline, I think, but... We could probably wrap it there.
I was gonna say, what do you have to plug this week? Maybe some trade stuff, like reaction.
I'm about to ask you to post this podcast because I'm about to record a deadline podcast with our pal John Godis.
Oh, see, I'm about to leave the house and head down to the ACC, so we might just have to.
You can do it, Mitch. yeah, Locked On Raptors. I'm probably gonna write a goodbye Bruno post at some point. I'm pretty non-punctual, so it probably won't be super timely, but I will write a Bruno thing at some point, And I wrote a thing yesterday for Raptors HQ that got Celtics fans very angry. It was like partly tongue-in-cheek, but I do believe the general premise of it. I wrote about why the Raptors are definitely better than the Celtics on a objectively like stats-based level, just from watching them, and also just like morally, they're a more right team to want to see win. They exude more positivity than the Celtics do. They're not as sterile as the Celtics and square. There's character and sort of richness to their backstory and how they came together, as opposed to the Celtics that kind of had everything land in their lap. So I wrote about that, and then some Celtics fans tweeted at me, and I mostly muted them because they're dumb.
That's, you know what, that's very Eagles versus Patriots.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Boston needs more L's this
Congrats,
year.
Congrats, by the way, buddy.
Yeah, I'm still riding pretty
how
high.
Loaded you, how loaded tonight. Were you on Sunday?
I couldn't even drink because I was so nervous. And then I once the Hail Mary from Brady went up at the end of the game, I kind of blacked out for 40 seconds. I don't remember it. And then I woke up in a cold sweat screaming. So it was a really good Sunday.
Well, I'm very excited for the Eagles to trade Carson Wentz this offseason and go with Nick Foles going forward. Should be a good time. Future Bills quarterback Carson Wentz.
They can all hope down in Bills Mafia. So yeah, I'm going to wrap it there. Thanks for tuning in, guys, for all this original trade reaction on stuff on Tyler Zeller. Rashad Vaughn, you won't get anywhere else. We'll be back next week with some stuff on something. That's specific enough.
All right. Do you not have any time to post this?